The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. It just gets weirder and weirder. How are things going in Israel?
Well, yeah, it does get weirder and weirder. But again, we've still got Prime Minister Netanyahu coming onto TV during the evening news hour to give the latest update and also to implement new restrictions. And yesterday, the people of Israel got a telling off by the Prime Minister for not adhering to the social separation restrictions, requests that have been made. And he said that he's noticed that people are gathering in parks together and people are going to the beach. He said, this is not a holiday. This is a matter of life and death. This is not like the summer holiday period where you can go out and socialize. The social restrictions are real. And he used the words, it's not a children's game. This is a matter of life and death. So people really got a telling off, and also new restrictions are being placed, which is which basically says that you shouldn't leave the house unless you really, really have to. That's now the new rule. Don't leave the house unless you absolutely have to. And absolutely have to means if you have work, which is under the restrictions that have been placed for people going to work, if you have emergency service that you are delivering, if you need to take a child or an animal outdoors, you can do so, but obviously you have to maintain the social distancing rules, which means keep at least 2 meters from anybody. If you are traveling anywhere, are entitled to travel in a private car as long as you're traveling on your own. You're entitled to travel together with other members of your own household in the car. But that's really it. So, you know, all the things that we've learned about lift sharing and trying to preserve the planet and becoming social animals and interacting with people, all of that is now out of the window. And effectively, people are being forced to stay at home. Not forced. People are being recommended to stay at home. And it's important to distinguish between the two, because the government has also said that they have no real way of enforcing these rules. In other words, if people do go out and do transgress this, then they have no real way of enforcing this. Although there were some scenes yesterday of a coronavirus victim who apparently tried to escape from the hospital, physically escape from a hospital, and a hazmat suited individual running after him in order to restrain him effectively return him back. Literally physical restraint to return him back to the hospital. So, you know, there are some quite strange scenes. People are going into cabin fever. People are feeling depressed. People are feeling like they need to get out and breathe. And unfortunately, the restrictions are such that, you know, you really can't do that. So slowly but surely, the screw is definitely tightening. Of course, the public transportation is now shut down during evening and weekend hours completely. No public transport over the weekend. No public transport in the evening. During daytime hours, there is very limited public transport, only for those lines that are carrying people who are regarded as really emergency workers, people who have to get to work, have no alternative way. Only certain lines for those workers, you have to absolutely get there. And even then, the rules are being maintained within the public transport, which is to maintain a distance of 2 meters from other people. Of course, sitting around the area of the driver is now forbidden, and those seats have been taped off so that nobody can access them. So really, we're living in a very, very, very different and strange world. And as of today, a new drive-through COVID-19 testing station will begin operating in Tel Aviv. So you can literally drive in with your car. You can be tested while sitting in your car and drive off and get the results. I'm not sure exactly how long the results take to get, but all that's required is you need to get a prescription from your doctor. You drive along to the testing station. It's a swab from the mouth, as I understand it. They just lean in to your car window with all the protection that they have to be wearing while doing this. Literally a moment to swab from your mouth. In the test goes, off you go, straight home. Do not pass, begin, do not collect 200, straight home. You go and wait for your test results. Apparently, Israel is hoping to ramp up the number of tests to 5,000 a day. This new drive-through testing station in Tel Aviv, but new similar testing stations, drive-through testing stations, will be set up in other cities as well, in the north, in Haifa, and in Jerusalem and in other parts of Israel, in order to try to ramp up the number of tests that are being conducted. I'm told that all 120 Knesset members will be tested for COVID, for the coronavirus. Aryeh Deri, the Minister of the Interior, is already in isolation due to apparently having come into contact with people who have been diagnosed with the virus. And there is talk about certain neighborhoods being quarantined entirely because of the incidence of coronavirus and the number of people in quarantine in those suburbs. There is one neighborhood, for example, in Modi'in, that is currently under inspection, that it may well just be completely cordoned off as a quarantine area. And also the settlement called Kiryat Yarim, Tellstone for some people, between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. That is also an area which has got a particularly high incidence of sufferers of coronavirus and people in quarantine. And there is talk about completely isolating that area in order to try to contain what's happening there. So quite a number of actions being taken at the moment, and a very, very strange situation that we find ourselves in.
There's been a lot of talk as well on social media about some of the yeshivot that had closed, hadn't closed, weren't adhering to some of the regulations. What is the latest on that?
Well, I think that they're now falling into line pretty much, and I know that yesterday the local authorities had sent what they call criers out to the local Haredi neighborhoods, people with megaphones in their hands, screaming out instructions to people in Hebrew and in Yiddish from the streets, from vehicles, instructing people what to do to maintain social distance, not to go into the yeshivot, not to go to shiurim. I know that the chief rabbi of the UK, Rabbi Mervis, closed down all communal activity entirely. No shul services, no shiurim, no getting together, no nothing. And that's coming here. I mean, even though there hasn't been an official pronouncement along those lines, I know that because of the other restrictions that have been placed, where, you know, up until now, people have been able to gather as a minyan only and no more and no less. Now a lot of those minyanim are effectively folding because people are taking the lead from elsewhere, even though it isn't an official pronouncement. But people are saying, we've been told not to leave the house unless there is an emergency situation. That means not going to shul. That means not going to a shiur. That means not congregating together at all. So there is a very concerted effort now to bring the yeshivot, the religious community, in particular the Haredi community, into line. I'm not quite sure how successful that's been, but certainly more now than was the case, let's say, yesterday or the day before. I think people are starting to understand that, particularly where there are going to be huge groups of people together, one little outbreak there could be an absolute catastrophe. So it seems as if, though, a lot of effort has now been placed and been invested in order to bring those communities into line as well.
Karen says, I must admit, I'm finding this very, very scary. I'm doing my bit, but it really is. I don't think, Karen, that it's unreasonable. If people are very, very, very frightened indeed around this.
I think it's very reasonable for people to be scared, but I think that we all need to understand where the risks are, and they've been trying to play back to us why we're doing this and what risk we're at. And for the vast majority of the population, even people who might be infected with a COVID virus, it'll be okay. You'll get over it. You might not feel so well. In many cases, you may not even suffer consequences. You might not even show any effects at all. But the problem is for the weaker members of our society. And Naftali Bennett put out a great English audio file to the members of the English. Please do play it, Howard, because I think it really helps for people to understand why we're doing this, and just to put things into some sort of a perspective. You know, obviously the risk, there is a certain sector of the population who are at risk. It's essentially the older people, and it's those people with pre-existing conditions. Apparently, for example, those people who suffer from any heart conditions are higher risk. And there is a certain a percentage risk that's attached to each sector of population. I think it's useful for people to be aware of those high-risk categories, who they are, and, of course, to take into consideration where you fall, because the vast majority of people will be okay. But it's all about passing it on to other people. And I mean, for example, in Italy, it's been pretty disastrous. 2,500 people dead across Europe. You know, hundreds of people in all of the countries that surround Italy have died. Fortunately for Israel, so far, still nobody reported to have died from this disease, from this virus, even though 337 people have been now counted as having contracted the virus. Five are still in serious condition. 11 people have been healed, have come out the other side okay. But there are still something like 11 others who are in moderate condition. So the vast majority of people are in light, what they call lightly ill. So, you know, you're not showing very serious effects. Yeah. And in fact, hotels have now been set up to house people who are not showing severe signs of suffering from the virus. In other words, people have been diagnosed as carrying the virus or as being infected by the virus, but not needing intensive hospitalization or hospital treatment. The Dan Panorama Hotel in Tel Aviv has been cleared out, cleaned out, ready to house people suffering from the coronavirus. They're going to be put into that hotel until they manage to come out the other side. The same with the Dan Hotel in Jerusalem and Dan Panorama in Haifa. Those are hotels that have now been set aside that will house people who are lightly ill, so that the hospitals can be dedicated to people who need more intensive treatment. Apparently, ventilation machines have been sourced. Thousands of new ventilation machines have been ordered and will be arriving, have been somehow obtained by the health authorities, because that's obviously something that's really required for people who are seriously ill. So I think we just all need to put it into a little bit of perspective. Listening to Naftali Bennett's audio, I think, is helpful. And just being aware of where you fall within the sort of population sector, I think, is also an important point.
Right. And the Israeli shekel obviously has weakened. I mean, most economies under severe stress. But what is the specific reason behind the weakening of the shekel?
Well, just to put it into perspective, I mean, the shekel was trading at around 3.45 shekel to the dollar about 2 weeks ago. Now, yesterday, the shekel closed at 3.86 to the dollar. And the movement just yesterday was a 3.5% weakening of the shekel against the US dollar. Now, as you rightly say, I mean, most economies are weakening. So the question is, why is the shekel the currency that seems to be weakening more? Why is it not just moving, in parallel to the US dollar, where, I mean, obviously the US economy has also been riding this roller coaster. The NASDAQ was down 12% in one day the day before yesterday, even though it did show something of a recovery after that. But 12% is very dramatic, and we're showing massive volatility in the markets at the moment. It's not clear to me why the shekel has been the currency that has suddenly weakened, but we do know that there's been a lot of work in the weeks and months leading up to this in order to try and weaken the shekel, because obviously Israeli exports and Israel as a general destination for tourists has been immensely expensive. And so there was some work to try and weaken the shekel. That's finally now happened, although it had to take a force majeure in order to suddenly weaken the shekel. But it's been pretty dramatic in the last week or so, really a massive weakening of the shekel, more than 10%. And to be honest with you, it's really not that clear why the shekel should be the currency to suffer this. Perhaps it was because it was overinflated to begin with, and now as a result of this situation that we find ourselves in, the markets are really correcting themselves and bringing things down to realistic levels, and perhaps that's a more realistic level for the shekel. But certainly people who've been in the currency markets have been riding a huge roller coaster with the shekel, and of course in general the Israeli markets yesterday, the market happened to be up about 2%, the Israeli stock exchange, but certainly massive fluctuations and huge volatility in the market, as we've seen actually around the world over the past few days.
Yeah, very, very scary indeed. And I just think it's we need to fasten our seatbelts and wait for this crazy story to pass us by, and hopefully do with as little damage as possible. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll chat to you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Here's Anati with your news. I'm Howard Feldman. A very good morning.